Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Bishop Joel David Trout. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join Bishop Joel David Trout as he begins his message.
The Lord put this in my spirit deeply this morning, and I felt compelled to share with you the revelation that God gave me out of His Word. And it's meant to challenge us and to change us. I'm tired of coming to church just hearing something that doesn't really get to the nitty-gritty of life. I can get a TED Talk on YouTube. Some of you who know what TED Talks are. I can get a Tony Robbins by just going online. I just want to hear some positive speaking, motivational speaking. But we're dealing with real devils. And I need more than motivation. I need power. And Jesus says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So the words that we preach today are not just going to be words off of a page, but a living word. Thank you, Jesus. That can get to the depths of our hearts. Some of you came in today. I promise you the Holy Spirit is going to read your mail. As we say in the hood, he's going to get in your Kool-Aid. And you're going to wonder, did someone tell him? I haven't talked to anyone that knows you but the Holy Spirit. The message today is American Idol. American Idol. I'm going to talk about idols and images. And it's important to go to the foundation of what this is all about, found in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, when God gave the commands to Israel, his people. You know, Israel didn't start out as Israel. They were a mongrel nation, the mixture of Amorite and Hittite heathen nations that came together, and his people were formed. His people were separated from all the other peoples of the earth because they had the revelation that there is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. All the other nations worship many gods. Anything they could not understand, they ascribed it as a deity. So if they didn't understand thunder, they would say it's the God of thunders. They didn't understand where frogs came from, so it's a frog god. The Nile River, we don't understand its power, so it's a god. So they began to worship everything they couldn't explain. And guess what? They couldn't explain anything. So guess what? Everything became a god. Pantheism, God in everything. And it raised to the level of deity to the point that they worshiped it. One people out of the earth got the revelation. God spoke to Abraham out of the silence of his idol worship. He had been worshiping idols. None of the idols ever said a word to him. God speaks from heaven and declares who he is. Abraham gets the revelation that Elohim, the creator of the worlds, is the one God. And he begins to follow that God. When Israel became a nation and was in bondage for 400 years, when God brought them out of bondage, he gave them laws. He said, now, when I bring you into your own land, you've got to have order. And he gave them the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not the Ten Suggestions. Commands. This is it. This is divine fiat. This is coming from above, from the cloud, and God wrote it on his iPad tablets from the cloud. Okay, you got it there. All right. Here's one of the critical commandments that's going to be critical for us today. In Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter, he says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God is basically setting the stage. Remember, I'm the one that got you out of bondage. So I have leverage. I have authority to speak in your life because I brought you out of bondage. He had authority to speak into their lives. I brought you out of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. I brought you out of bondage. None of your other gods did that. I brought you out of bondage. No other gods. Seems reasonable. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. God was covering everything. Don't make an image of anything you see in the heavens or even beneath the waters. Don't look at it and say it's a god and we must create an image of that god. God is trying to cover everything from above and beneath. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, this is God's self-declaration. As we would say today, I'm jelly, okay? That's the modern adaptation. God says, I'm jealous. I have no problem telling you I'm jealous because I'm God. There's no other God beside me. So when I see you worshiping another God, it makes me jealous. Considering everything you have, everything you're wearing, everything you possess, I gave it to you. And for you to take an idol, to make it, create it, fashion it, form it, put eyes in it, put a nose and a mouth in it, and say, this is the thing that gave me my blessings, I'm jealous. Because the thing you created, you created. You created something and then said, this is the God that has blessed me. God says, I'm rightfully jealous. We don't have a right to be jealous because we're not it. I know you think you're it, but you're not it. You're not the only beautiful person in the world. In fact, there's someone more beautiful than you. There's someone bigger than you, brothers, that got better pecs and biceps, and you're not it. Somebody with better hair than you. Better smile, dimples, teeth. 38, 24, 36. I mean, this. You're 40, 40, 40. You're not it. God is it. It. No others beside me. Rightfully jealous. He says, don't make anything and call it God. I'm a jealous God. And I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. I won't forget. In fact, if you show that you're willing to worship other gods in front of me, I won't forget. In fact, your children's children will pay for it. Have no other gods. Don't make an image and call it God. So if you fast forward to our time, you would think that, well, that really doesn't apply to us. We don't make graven images. We don't construct things and call it God. I frequent a nail salon that has a little image sitting in the corner. There's fruits. I don't do that kind of stuff. The Chinese food place has a little god sitting there, Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama, his name. And they pay homage to him. We're much more sophisticated than that. However, I submit to you today, everyone, that we actually are the idol generation. And dare to even promote it with American Idol. That's just a taste of what really exists in our life. We have micro idols. And they're images that we have erected. In fact, the Apostle Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to be spending much of our time here today. The Apostle Paul says in defending his ministry, now I, Paul, myself beseech you. He's always beseeching. He's the great beseecher or urger. I'm urging you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. This is 2 Corinthians 10. Please follow along. Some of you are paper Bible saved. Some of you are digital phone Bible saved. All right. But follow along. This is so critical. Paul says, in presence, I'm base. In other words, I'm not much to look at. I hear that Apostle Paul might have been a little guy and he had bad eyes. And he wasn't much to look at. He said, in presence, I'm not much to look at. But absent, I'm bold. You know, there's a lot of Twitter warriors out there and Facebook warriors. They're bold typing it out. When you get in their presence, they're little mice, okay? Paul says, now, when I'm with you, you guys don't consider me much because of the way I look. But when I'm absent, I'm bold. He says, I urge you that I may not be bold when I'm present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Some of you thinking that I'm somehow operating in my flesh. Let me just say this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We walk in the flesh. You woke up this morning, you cleaned yourself, you ate your breakfast, took out the trash, fed the cat, cleaned the car. You're walking in the flesh. That's not spiritual at all. You comb what hair was left in your head. That's flesh. You're just walking in the flesh. You put your teeth in. It's been sitting next to the bedside. Just that's things we do in the flesh. You came to church, not in the spirit. You came in the flesh. However, here's a disclaimer. Paul says, we do not war after the flesh. Now, when it comes to our struggle and our fight, it's not in the flesh. You think I'm your problem. I'm not your problem. Your problem is in another realm. It might come through me, but I'm not the problem. Our warfare is not in the flesh, for we do not war after the flesh. And if you have a good Bible, you'll see that after that, he puts a quotation mark there. Not a quotation mark, but apostrophe. Basically, he's saying, in this next section, I want to separate this out. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare, so we don't war after the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal means physical or fleshly. You go to Umberto's and get a carne asada. Carne meaning what? Meat. Carnal, flesh. The weapons of our fight are not physical. You don't need a Glock for this particular war. For other kinds, but not this war. But these weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So these weapons, Paul says, that we do have are mighty through God. So it is God that enables us to fight this fight in the spiritual realm, to the point that you'll be able to pull down strongholds. Strongholds. That's an old English way of describing this. A stronghold is a mindset that comes as a result of an experience that impacts you so that long after the experience is over, you still have a mindset that has paralyzed you or limited you in the way you think or the way you behave. A stronghold is what results from an experience that you had. The experience is long gone, 30 years ago. The people have gone. The guy is dead who did the dirty deed to you. But what he left is a mindset that has you bound to this day. That's a stronghold. You see, the devil is not so much concerned about the instrument that he uses to mess up your life. He's concerned about the result of the incident. If the result can stop you from being fully functioning, he has made his goal. Stronghold, mindsets that keep you bound or numb or paralyzed. Look what Paul said about those. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, even to the point of pulling down strongholds. Yes, the weapons of our warfare can actually pull down stinking thinking that has us bound. Oh, I feel an unction right now. Thank you, Jesus. Something that has had you bound for years has just gotten exposed. And it's just as good as gone now because it's gotten exposed. Because there are things that we've been living with, thinking we had to live with it, didn't realize it was a stronghold that could be cast down. Lord, have mercy. You thought your mission was to learn how to accept it and didn't realize it can be cast down. You've been trying to negotiate with it and live with it and be comfortable with it. Casting down, verse 5, imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Strongholds create imaginations. Imaginations are thoughts that you have about yourself and others. But I want you to see the root of imagination. The root word in imagination is image. Here we go, here we go. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to any image. Oh, help me, God. So strongholds take on a position of being a god, an idol in our life. Well, I've never made any graven images. I'm not like those from Asia who set up images. Oh, baby, you got images. They're strongholds. They have such power that I believe the images over the Almighty God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You see, these experiences that we've had have created a new mindset and a new way of thinking that can exalt itself against God's power to the point that we doubt what God can do. And we believe that what the devil did to us is greater than God. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, God, you're going to be this way the rest of your life. My God, there are things that have been said to you that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You want to know about some of those things? Some things said were, you'll never amount to anything. Things that were said, well, when I leave you, ain't nobody ever else going to want you. You'll never amount to anything. You're stupid. You're ugly. Lord, have mercy. And that is seeking to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. When God said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail. I have loved you with an everlasting love. You have overcome the world because greater is he that's in you than he that's in. That's the knowledge of God. Lord, have mercy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. I rebuke that image. That imagination, when they spoke those words, it created an image in your mind. Where the devil had you seeing yourself that way. And when you saw yourself that way, you started acting that way. If I can get that in their mind, then they'll start acting it out. Because someone put the image in their mind. All of that stuff when you were a child, the devil was trying to mess up with your mind to get you to start idolizing the words that were spoken. And you would say, I don't idolize them. Yes, you believe them over what God said. We're worshiping the negativity. Than what the word of God said. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When he said casting down is a nice way of saying getting belligerent. In other words, when it comes to this issue of strongholds in your life, you've got to get belligerent. Notice it said casting down. That is a present tense continual, which means every day you got to engage in casting down those images, those mindsets. You could have a period 6 months where you're just on top of the world and something can flip your world where you don't even know your name. And every day is a struggle just getting up. Lord have mercy. Every day is a battle just to be normal. That's why he says the weapons of our warfare, they're mighty to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down, casting every day. There's a battle to fight. There's a war to be won. So I want to encourage you who are like, man, this, you don't understand. This it seems like every day. No, it is every day. It doesn't seem like it is. You'll just be going about your business and one of those old thoughts will come in your head. And you're just minding your business. And immediately you got a warfare on Highway 94. You got to go on warfare. In the name of Jesus, I don't receive that. God loves me. That is not me. I rebuke you. Lord have mercy. Now the people next to you might be wondering what's going on. I'm in warfare right now. Because if I don't go in warfare, I'm a road rage you. Y'all better hear me. The reason why folks flip off, lose it, go postal, is because they don't know how to warfare. Lord have mercy. But I'm so glad I know when those thoughts come in my mind. I know how to go into warfare. Lord have mercy. Because when they arrest them, they say, I don't know, but something told me to do this. But something tells us stuff to do, but we got the power to wage warfare in the spirit. I rebuke you, devil, right now. Get behind me, Satan. Because you know how to cast down. Do a WWE move on him. Boom! Not today, Satan. Not today. No, not today. Not having it. Because he uses the same tricks over and over again. He just thinks I can catch him today. So we casting down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So strongholds, they create a mindset about yourself, a mindset about other people, a mindset about sex, a mindset about your parents, oh yeah, a mindset about God, a mindset about authority, a mindset about food. Strongholds develop after an incident has occurred And the incident is over. But what remained was a whole new way of thinking. They have conditioned animals like elephants, huge beasts. When they were young, they would put shackles on their ankle and tie it to a large tree. And the little calf elephant couldn't move. They were trying to condition him. So to the point that when it got older, they could put the same shackles on him and tie him to a branch coming out of the ground. And when he moved, the first sign of resistance, he figured he couldn't go further. And all he had to do was yank his foot and he would have been free. But because he'd been conditioned, when he felt the shackle, the stronghold was in his mind. I can't move past a certain point. Once again, condition. I can't move because the shackle's there. That means I can't move. So what happens in life, the stronghold develops and we get conditioned. I have a friend who's a preacher, and she told me the story of how her mother would give her at 9 years old to her boyfriends to do anything they wanted with her. So she got a mindset over time that connected her being a female with abuse from men. So consequently, she tried to do everything she could not to appear feminine. Because apparently, that's what gets me in trouble. Tying down her breasts. I'm just being real today. Wearing baggy clothes so men couldn't see her shape. And then becoming same gender attraction. Because as a 9-year-old, I was just thrown like a piece of meat to any man that my mom would give me to. Until she got introduced to the Lord. Who changed the knowledge. Lord, have mercy. Wait a minute. Well, God just gave me an email. He just gave me an email. No, it's a text message. Thank you, Jesus. The same event that shapes your mindset to become a stronghold will be trumped by another event that will change your mindset. The event is getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, have mercy. You see, there is another event. I don't care what happened in the beginning. There's another event that will change your life. And getting filled with the power of God inside of you. God fills you and he takes over everything. And begins to move everything out of the house. Change your mindset. She's a new creature now. The stronghold made her numb and bound and paralyzed emotionally. That's what strongholds do. And if you examine yourself, you connect the dots, now you understand the why. Oh, the stronghold, that's what's got me paralyzed. Where I can't, and your husband wonder, why can't you? Paralyzed. You see your parents and you're paralyzed. You join a church, but anybody that's in authority, paralyzed. Stronghold is still there. Somebody did something to me that I can't handle anymore. And we create an idol. Casting down imagination. So the idol now takes on a life beyond normal. Because like, that's not normal. So I create a God that it looks like a God. You would think this person is serving a God. And it's nothing but an image. Imagination. And it's true, as the song says, just my imagination. getting the best of me. What's the rest of the words? Having it away with me?
Running away with me.
Running away with me. That's it. You know the song. Amen. It's true. It is just your imagination running. That's it. It's just an image. It's just a mindset. It ain't real. So today, why does that word come today? It comes to shine a light, to let you know that there's a way out, that you don't have to accept being in bondage. Oh, Jesus. Remember what God said in the Ten Commandments? He said, I'm the one that brought you out of bondage. So don't make any images. Don't make any idols. I brought you out of bondage to free you from idols. But I'm the one that did it. Thank you, Jesus. You don't owe that mindset one more day. Thank you, Jesus. You don't owe it one more hour of your time. Thank you, Jesus. There's freedom here for you today. Hallelujah. I can't say I love you to my mama. That's a stronghold. It got implanted. You connected love to something that was perverted. And now you can't say it, though you know you need to say it. So is there a big meanie holding you back, covering your mouth? No. It's just a mindset. It's an image. That's all it is. That has you afraid. But here's how you destroy the fear. You do the very thing it says not to do. If you're in the room and imagination says there's a boogeyman in the closet, you don't pull the covers over your head. You go to the closet. It's me and you tonight. It's going to end tonight. But I'm tired of not getting any sleep. Y'all didn't hear me. I'm tired of not getting rest. I'm casting you down tonight. Come on, here we go. Boogeyman, where are you? So the very thing the stronghold is saying to you, you can't do, do it. I want you to email me, text me, Facebook me. Bishop, I did it. All these years, the stronghold had told me I couldn't do this. I'm going to go by and visit that person that the stronghold said I can't face. I don't know who you are. Your deliverance is just going knocking on that door. Hey. And the thing that you thought is not going to be. Because all it's been is your imagination. It's only been an image. Tain't real. That little Buddha, he ain't real. I don't care how much food you put in front of him. Now see, y'all can see that, how stupid that is, can't y'all? You can see that. But guess what? You feed your imagination every day. You feed your idol too. Yours just ain't fat and sitting in the corner. But he's got a perch right up there. And he can't eat either. So to feed, for example, to feed rage and anger, I have to constantly remind myself of what originally happened. Because guess what? Over time, it just subsides and you forget. So to keep my rage up, I have to run. That's right, you did that to me in 1958. But you have to feed that every day. Because it's like, what happened in 1958? Only way to keep that alive is you got to feed it. God's saying, don't feed that anymore. Because it's just a dumb idol. Has eyes and can't see. Ears and can't hear. Mouth and can't speak. You're feeding a dumb idol. Some of you are going to get your deliverance today. Jesus. Come on and give God a clap offering right now. Casting down idols. You want to be free? Cast it down. You're not going to serve anything that don't serve me. Hey, if it don't serve me well, I ain't serving it. And none of them things is serving me well at all. Only thing serving me well is God. He's been better than good to me. Woo! I owe you. I don't owe that thing any more time. Watch what TikTok is saying to you. Watch what IG, Instagram is saying to you. Watch what Facebook, because all they're doing is giving you images. All day long. And it will get you depressed because the images are false. The images tell you every one of your friends is on vacation but you. Have you noticed that? I'm like, man, I can't even get to Tijuana and everybody, all my friends are in Dubai. France? I'm like, don't buy the image. Oh, here's a good one. The images of every one of your friends and their mates is happy. They're all booed up and they're always going out on, it's date night, date night. And you're like, it was date night yesterday. And you slap your husband. What's wrong with you? They're always on a date. Images. Images. Living my best life. Images. They are not living their best life. They're living out of their car. They just got dressed up. Took a picture at the beach, made you think they were living down there. It's all fake. All phony. Images. But it made you depressed. So it worked. You were doing fine till you got social media. You was broke, but hey, it didn't matter. You got social media, now you see images. Thousands. It's imagination. It's not real. Thank you. Folks are struggling just like you. Trying to make it just like you. Everybody ain't in shape. Okay? Please. You ever heard of a filter? I'm telling you, I call them things witchcraft, okay? Because when I saw the real problem, oh, God, what the? Witchcraft. It's sorcery. Your nose is flat, not skinny. You feel better now, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, I feel much better. Yeah. Exactly. The devil's gonna destroy this whole world with idolatry. That's what he's doing. Making people jealous over something that don't even exist. You jealous over me? Man, I'm struggling. But the images make it appear as if I'm doing good.
Live my life like it's golden, golden. Even got soundtracks to how my life is golden.
Do you have a soundtrack to your life? I mean, my God. Life don't come with a soundtrack. You see how we're sucked in?
To what God told Israel, don't fall into idolatry. So here's how the devil's going to do us. He knows that if we're blessed, he can't do anything to us. But if I can get them to curse themselves, I got them. Because if God bless me, the devil can't put nothing on me. He can't take nothing of mine. Only thing he can do is draw me out to become an idolater. And now God has to get me. Because now I put another God in front of him. So the devil said, let me get them to curse themselves with idolatry. So my friend today, make a step here. Whatever the thing is that I've idolized, someone's word, someone's opinion, some bad thoughts about myself, someone abused me. So you can't keep living the abuse. The abuser's dead. You're not going to get an apology from him. You've got to believe the knowledge of God about you. And that's what overcomes any of the lies of the devil. You're not what happened to you. That doesn't define you. What defines you is, who did you come from? God. You came from him. You're made in his image and likeness. You are loved unconditionally by him. God, David said, before I even knew myself, you knew me in my mother's womb. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. So where you are right now, just close your eyes and get a new imagination. Hurabasiya. What was I to be had I not been through what I went through? And I want you to recapture that image. What was I going to be before I got hurt? Before I was raped and molested? Before my daddy left me? Because what was left in your spirit was the lie. Hirabasya. The abandonment that you experienced as a child. And now you're afraid of commitment to the point that you can't commit to any relationship because you're afraid you'll be rejected and abandoned. I dare you to love again, because what they said is not the truth about you. Father, in Jesus' name, I want you to rush through this room like the Holy Spirit. Breathe on everyone here. Reformat our brains, our minds. Transform us by the renewing of our mind. Whew. We could see ourselves the right way for the first time. Hirabasaya. I rebuke that lie that was told. We expose it today. It is not the truth about you. Cast down the image. Cast down the idol. It is not the truth. Oh, God. It's not the truth about you. Glory to God. I speak a release over your life right now. I'm not talking some surface blessing. I'm talking about a release of your emotions. Where you were numb, you can start feeling again. Where you were paralyzed emotionally and couldn't hug, couldn't express love, couldn't emote. It's breaking right now. The numbness, the paralyzation. Ha! It's breaking right now in the name of Tita Baba Siyamahai.
You're not cursed. You're not cursed. You're not going to live out your father's pain in the name of Jesus. I introduce you to a new event. Holy Spirit, fall down right now. Redefine my future with a Holy Ghost encounter right now. Redefine my future. Fall down on me right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So today, I want all of us now, we're going to exalt God together. He is the one true God. So instead of my problems, instead of my idols, my imaginations, I'm going to exalt him. Everyone right now in your own way, begin exalting the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I love you. Oh, glory to God. Open your mouth and say it. Don't mumble it. Actually declare it above your imagination, above your strongholds. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. You are the one true God. You're awesome. You're mighty. Yeah, just tell God how great he is. Hey, Sonia, you're great. You're mighty. Oh, God, I love you. You love me. You love me more than I love myself. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you for having so much love and mercy for me. Thank you for being gracious. I believe I'm beautiful in your sight. I believe I'm lovely in your sight. I believe I'm worth it. I believe I'm worth it. I believe I'm worth it. Ha! Huh? Yes, you didn't reject me, God. You love me. You didn't reject me. You accepted me in the name. Hey, glory to God. That's right. You exalt him above the noise in your head. The noise in your head, you exalt him above that. Hallelujah. If you don't, the noise in your head is going to take you down. You got to exalt him above the noise in your head. Don't let that noise in your head be louder than your praise for him. The noise in your head is going to destroy you if you don't raise the noise of his praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's over. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. My God. Is there somebody here today who's never received the Lord, never received the Holy Spirit, never repented of your sins? Come on down. Let me pray you into the kingdom. You've never, ever accepted Jesus as your Savior. Let's get that over and done with. All it requires you to do is repent. In other words, ask God to forgive you of your past, your sins. He'll restore you. He'll fill you. You'll get another event in life. This next event is going to supersede that disastrous event that happened in that house. This is going to be the next event on your calendar. You'll be defined by that event, not by what happened in that house. You're going to have a new defined event. Whew, praise God. Well, let's give God a clap offering together. Hallelujah. Come on, everyone shout hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah! My dad preached a sermon years ago. And the title was, I am what the great I am says I am. Hallelujah. Everyone say it after me. I am what the great I am says I am. The great I am, that I am whatever he says. Well, God bless you. It's been real. Thank God for you.
I hope you walk in this. This message ain't going to make no difference in your life if you don't
cast down. WWE, remember that.
You got to take authority. No, not going to have it. Amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Do we have an official dismissal or you want me to dismiss? Lord, keep us, watch over us, give us victory each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah, we give you the praise.